Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks Podcast on KMBZ.
All right, Proud Mama.
Oh, my God.
Give me all the details. I want all the deets.
We're exhausted with joy.
What a weekend.
I didn't even have time to call you, and I feel bad for that.
Why?
You
also didn't have time to invite me to the party. Sam got invited to the party. I did not. Dan, did you get invited to the party?
Oh, my
what
gosh.
What party?
Exactly.
Invited? I brought the party.
I didn't even get invited to the party.
I almost said to you, you should swing by, but it was...
Hurt? Yes.
No, it was flawlessly executed. Mm-hmm. My oldest son is now engaged to be married to his longtime girlfriend, now fiance, Olivia. And I will tell you, the first time I met her, I called my mom and dad. And I said, and I quote, "This is the one I want."
Okay, it's not the one that you want.
That's what my father said.
It should be the one that he wants.
And he goes, "Well, that's not up to you." And I go, "Well, I'm just saying right now, this is the one I want." And so I have so many thank yous because the actual engagement went off so flawlessly because of a handful of people. The staff at Union Station, wow. There is no better place, I'm telling you, to get married or engaged. They've got it down. Carrie Emmert and her business, Preppy Pinecone KC, did the entire, like, she is a one woman.
She's a rock star.
Wrecking crew of a rock star.
Mm-hmm.
Did every single detail. I was going to get like a little floral wall on Etsy. She was like, "We're not doing that." She handled all of those details. Photographer Becca was incredible. And then we could not figure out how to get Olivia up to the third floor at Union Station on the balcony. Enter.
So originally the
Samuel Stevie.
Well, originally it was supposed to be me.
Yes. I needed someone. Jack needed someone to escort her upstairs.
And after he excused himself to go to the restaurant.
Yeah, they had brunch at Harvey's.
Lovely.
You know, love that place. And I think even George with Union Station was like watching in the wings. And do you know how hard it is to hide Sam Stevie? The guy's 7 feet tall. So Sam shows up early and is hiding or trying to hide over by Parisi Coffee in front of Harvey's. And
which, by the way, Sam had to wait for an hour.
He waited.
They got a bucket of mimosa.
I know.
Oh, the text chain between Carrie, the photographer, and I, it might be the funniest text chain ever. One of the texts reads, "A whole pitcher? They better drink fast."
We've only got the space an hour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just posted up out in front of the Parisis.
You have to tell the story. I was not there.
Drinking a cup of coffee.
So, Sam, you're sipping a cup of coffee.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, you realize there's a pitcher of mimosa that gets delivered to the table, and you're like, oh, God.
He has binoculars, Scott. He's watching. He's waiting in the wings for his moment.
People are coming up and asking me questions as if I work there because I was dressed like a fake waiter. Because that was the whole shtick, was I was going to go up and pretend to be a waiter.
He was trying to blend in. People were asking him to refill their coffee.
Some guy who I'm pretty sure was homeless kept coming up and talking to me. And I'm like, dude, I'm doing something.
I'm working here, people. I'm
scram.
Working. He was like in the Bourne Identity. He was in his own version of the Bourne Identity.
Aww.
So at the very end of their brunch, Scott, Jack tabs out and then has to excuse himself to go
to the restroom,
hide, and go run upstairs.
Well, the initial plan was that Jack was going to say, "I'm going to run to the restroom. I'll be right back." However, after you down a pitcher of mimosas and a couple of glasses of water, it turns out that the person that you're trying to keep at the table also needs to use the restroom. So he had to come up with a different plan, which was, and I quote, "I'm going to run upstairs real quick, but you have to stay here."
She said, "Okay, I need to use the restroom." And Jack just goes, "No."
Did you ever let that poor deer go to the bathroom?
Oh, that poor, I think as they, well, first of all, Sam has to get her upstairs. And
so,
no, let Sam tell the story.
Let Sam tell the story because I was not there. I've seen the video.
So here I am, 2.5 cups of coffee deep.
You've got to go to the restroom.
I had to go to the restroom. And I see Jack get up, and I'm still thinking that he's supposed to go to the restroom.
That's your cue.
And that's not where he went.
Oh.
He went up the stairs at Harvey's.
Hmm.
That there's nowhere to go up there. And I was like, well, what's going to happen now? And then I see him. There's windows of the second level, like kind of those walkways on Union Station. I see him walking through the windows, and I'm like, good God, where is he going? Finally, I see them go upstairs, and I can see Jack getting ready, and I get the all clear, the thumbs up, because I had texted in the group chat, whenever we're ready, just give me a thumbs up.
Very high-tech spy stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Thumbs up.
And I've got a microphone on Jack's shirt. I've got a microphone on my shirt, and I'm recording the whole thing, and I get up from Parisi, cup of coffee in hand, the whole nine. And I walk over, and ma'am, can you come with me for a second?
And she recognized you.
She did. She goes, Sam, what are you doing?
He's like, I'm abort, working here. And can I refill your mimosa?
I didn't plan beyond the ma'am, can you come here for a second? Or can you come with me for a second? So she goes, what are you doing? And I go, I don't know.
Line. I need more script.
So I'm like, you just want to come with me? Well, I don't know what we're doing. Just come this way. And I lead her over to the elevator and press the elevator button. And by the way, I had already been up and down this elevator this morning about 3.5 times. And it was perfect. Super quick. This time, No.
Scott, it was 9 minutes. They were waiting on that elevator.
Forever. The entire video that I took is 6.5 minutes long. 4.5 minutes of it is sitting waiting for the elevator.
How about those Chiefs?
I look at her and I'm like, well, you can take the stairs. I grab the door to the stairs. So locked.
Do you get the feeling that at some point she knows what's going on?
She knew immediately.
She's stressed out.
She was already looking upstairs. I go, what are you looking for?
She goes, where is he?
Yeah. What are you looking for? She goes, well, what are we doing? I just kept saying, because again, didn't plan for this.
Right.
I don't know.
I have no idea why I'm talking to you or had you come with me. I don't know.
Or follow me into this van.
We finally, and I'm recording her the whole time. So like camera in face, the whole thing.
Get in the back.
Scott, at one point she goes, are we going to the Titanic exhibit? And Sam goes, yes.
And then she reads the poster on the Titanic exhibit.
Inside the elevator.
It says starts November 8th. And she goes, it hasn't even started yet. And I go, you weren't supposed to read that part.
Man, would you put this hood on, please?
And finally, the elevator door opens.
And chew this gummy. I need you to chew this gummy and put this hood on.
Go ahead and walk out. Turn to your right. You'll know what's going on. So she goes, she turns, and immediately starts bawling.
Oh, so sweet.
Okay, so I'm going to say, I'm looking at the pictures right now.
Oh.
She is ugly crying a little bit.
She is just, yes.
Oh, like hyperventilating.
Like
crying.
Hyperventilating.
Yeah.
And it is, I have watched, you know, we're not going to share any of those things, but I have watched that video.
Come on, Dana.
There's a photograph of the mamas watching the video, and we are all just sobbing a couple of hours later, but it was just such a beautiful day for our family.
Well, I'm so happy for you
and
guys.
It sounds lovely.
It was
and
just
fun
great.
And
honestly, it was so funny, and we could not have done it without Carrie, without Sam, without Becca, without Union Station.
But what I understand is you weren't invited to this?
Well, there's a moment on the video.
I wasn't invited.
Where Olivia says to Jack, is your mom here? And Jack goes, oh, no. And Olivia said, I thought if she was here, I would hear her.
Wow. Wow.
Also, while they were sitting and eating, I was positioned perfectly to where I could see both of them because I was going to try to keep, you know, pace of breakfast, the whole nine. And at one point, I felt my eyes lock with Olivia's. And later it was confirmed she was looking right at me.
She was like, is that Sam?
I got up and shuffled my seat like 2 feet to the right. And she goes, I can't see him anymore. She said to Jack, I think Sam's here.
Is he moonlighting on a third job?
Yep.
Well,
coffee refill?
Let me say this. I am so, you know, because I've known Jack since he was, 10?
Yeah.
How happy we are. How proud we are. He could not have found himself a better young lady. Olivia is incredible. And we're very happy for you. We're even happier for Jack.
Yeah.
this is a get.
I get three daughters. I get three daughters.
She's amazing.
And now we get to plan a wedding.
So enjoy.
Thank you.
913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, I'm not here to digest the game from yesterday, 2017 loss.
Oh,
whatever.
It hurt.
Who cares?
That one hurt.
What is going on with Taylor coming into Arrowhead now?
Very confusing.
And I know you're a big fan, but we're allowed to criticize from time to time.
Yes.
So typically we would see her all over the socials of sports reporters who happen to be in the tunnel as all of the stars are making their way up to the suites.
Yeah, and she usually either walks in or gets on a golf cart or whatever.
Yeah, they come in with the secure entrance. Her bodyguards, you know, tell people to quit taking pictures. We've seen it time and time again. Okay. Yesterday's was a bit more odd.
I don't think it is if you think about it.
Well, if you think about the fact that she left her apartment building in New York in a suitcase for a year and a half, it's not odd.
So, Scott, if you missed the video,
just
let me try to explain it. She has had so many threats on her life. She has had people break into the places where she lives.
So is Travis.
Make themselves at home.
Yeah.
Like, stay inside there, okay? Plus, we had the robbery of their home last year.
Not okay.
You know, I also think... You know, if you see the way she came in, it is a gigantic partition, a black partition. It is on rollers.
It's an accordion wall.
It's an accordion wall.
Yeah.
And it moves with her.
It's about 8 feet tall.
It is 8 feet tall, and you are not seeing as it's rolling. She's walking in tandem
behind
it.
She's on the other side.
Yes, just to get her safely to... the suite.
Because there's a threat in the underbelly of Arrowhead?
The only reason I know it's 8 feet tall is because in the video, you see the guy roll it up to the door, about 7 feet tall, and then he has to pick it up and lay it flat to bring it through the doorway, and then stands it up and opens up the accordion wall before she walks out completely hidden.
It's not because she's tired of people looking at her. She's the most famous, celebrated pop star of our time. The partition was bulletproof, Scott.
Okay. It's easier to put that up, Scott, and have her walk behind it than to clear the whole tunnel area of people.
I'm telling you.
It was quicker and easier. Put that up. Walk her out there.
She has
pack up and go home.
Gotten so many death threats over the years, and this is not a nice time in America, is the best way I can say it.
I don't dispute that, but when you and I have both been in the underbelly of Kauffman Stadium, you know that there aren't a lot of people that get down there.
Well, she has to come up to get to the suite. She has to come in once she is at Arrowhead. She
takes an elevator to the suite.
They can't rappel her down with Johnny Rollins. You know, and so I think it was safety. I think it was security. And I think it was
privacy.
And I think it was out of an abundance of caution with where we are as a country right now.
There may have been some threats made that we aren't privy to.
Fair point.
Oh, I didn't think it was related to any of that. I was going with the Swifties who were speculating whether or not she was pregnant.
The barrier
That's what the Swifties are saying.
Is a bullet resistant portable shield partition that retails for about $6,000. TMZ has identified the partition.
Okay. By the way, the Chiefs are 0-2 for the first time since Patrick Mahomes ever took over.
Okay.
Patrick Mahomes is 0-2 for the first time since his sophomore year in high school.
0-3 if you go back to the Super Bowl.
Ew.
But we're not doing that.
Writes the Kansas City Star, it's bigger than this. This offense, I'm reading from the Kansas City Star. It is bigger than this. this offense stinks. That's the star. The Chiefs have transformed from a unit rich in ideas into a quarterback turning his pockets inside out, looking for help.
Well, he was the one that kept running and kept scoring. And you know what else I said last night, Scott? Patrick Mahomes is going to get hurt.
2 weeks in a row, he has more rushing yards than the rest of the team combined.
I had not seen that stat.
Oh, that's an interesting stat.
He's doing what he can. He's a competitor.
From the star, I continue the quotes. It is painful to watch. So ugly. This is the star. Who do they have next week? The Giants?
Yes.
And then they have Carolina. Is that correct?
Ravens.
Ravens.
Baltimore and then Jacksonville, I believe, and then Detroit.
So they're going to be 2-4.
Possibly.
It's not good. The sports boys were saying earlier out in the newsroom that this could be the rockiest start we have ever seen in a town where we are not used to rockiness really at all.
You know, and I sit out in the newsroom, and correct me if I'm wrong, and maybe I am. This reminds me of when in the 90s when Dallas won 3 Super Bowls, right? And then everybody got old. And Emmitt Smith went to the Arizona Cardinals. Troy Aikman retired. Michael Irving did whatever Michael Irving does. And the team just disintegrated.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a bit of an overreaction. But I do think that right now we practice like we're going to win the game. We don't practice like we want to win the game. And I said it all week that we're going to lose. And we need to lose because...
How else are you going to learn?
We're not going to get angry until we start losing.
When was the last time you can remember Butker missing a kick or Kelsey just dropping a ball?
What was that about?
The drop ball.
Oh, my word.
And even had that not happened, I think there would be concern about what this team looks like. Even if we had won last night, even if that kick had gone through, or even if Kelsey had made the touchdown with the catch that was right to him in his hands and all those things.
But the game really wasn't 20-17.
It did not feel that way, did it?
No.
It did not feel that way.
It's like a muscle car that's got an amazing engine and a great paint job and all this, but the spark plugs are bad, and so it's just kind of... It's just kind of...
But it's early. It's early. There's plenty of football left. It's okay.
It's over, Dana.
It is not. Dana,
they're going to be 2-4 after 6 games.
The dynasty is dead.
I'm the one that keeps cheering for the Royals. And Johnny the other night said, "Sweetheart, I don't know how to tell you this.
You got to let that go.
And I go, "No, there's still a chance."
Well, there is a chance. There is.
You should also go
buy a Powerball ticket because the chances are pretty similar.
He was trying to explain the math that like every one of our players would have to have their best game ever and we would have to win, which we did once over the weekend. Mm-hmm. And then all of these other people would have to never win a game again.
I think I saw an analyst over the weekend say the Royals have a 3% chance.
So you're saying there's a chance?
I am saying there's a chance.
Hope springs eternal.
There is a 3% chance that the Royals make the playoffs. I want the Royals to make the playoffs. I want the Chiefs to win. But I'm also a realist.
Now, by the way, I still have full faith the Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl this year.
Do you really?
Yep. And I said it a couple of seasons ago when we went 11-6 and won the Super Bowl. As we continued to lose, I said week after week, this is perfect. Force us to have to fight for it. Force us to have to try because it honestly looks like we get out there and we're confused because the other team is running. It's like, well, wait a minute. In practice, we were jogging. What?
Don't they know we're the Chiefs?
Why are they running? They're supposed to jog.
But do you have any issue with the idea that they're going to be 2-4 after week 6?
Do I think that that's inaccurate?
Yeah.
No, I think that's 100% accurate. Do I have an issue with it? No, I think it's exactly what we need.
You would want the Chiefs to be 2-4 after week 6.
Because maybe that lights the fire.
Yep.
Huh. Okay.
Because right now we've got a very angry and erratic leader on the offense in Travis Kelce.
Okay,
he is angry and erratic.
You could not put on TV. Chris Jones was yelling.
Chris Jones is our leader on the defense. He's angry and erratic. We need people to lock in.
Okay.
Dial it in. Dial in, people.
When we get back, women, go ahead, Dan.
I was just going to say, could it be a Samson issue? Mahomes cut his hair.
Oh, no.
Get out.
Back to the newsroom.
Go to your desk right now. When we get back, women, Would you date a man, would you marry a man who is shorter than you?
There's a whole article about that in my stack, and it's a very interesting article.
It's fascinating.
Article.
It's
we'll fascinating. Talk about that. Also, there's a headline in Lawrence that involves battery and a ukulele.
And meth.
Talk about that when we come back.
Here on Dana and Parks. Story here from Channel 9. A man believed to be under the influence used a musical instrument to vandalize multiple vehicles in Lawrence over the weekend. The Lawrence Police Department responded to 12th and Kentucky at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday on reports of a man damaging vehicles. The man, the man was allegedly hitting cars with a ukulele. Breaking the windshield of at least one parked vehicle and chasing a moving one.
Why do you hate Mumford & Sons?
He eventually dropped the instrument after damaging several vehicles. Police say it is believed that he was, quote, highly intoxicated.
What, he broke a windshield with a ukulele?
That is correct.
I love this next line.
Wow.
Officers knew who witnesses were describing and found him lying on the ground in the 1700 block of Massachusetts. So he got from 12th in Kentucky to 17th in Mass. They knew who he was.
Not
because
a huge stretch.
He was holding a ukulele. Could you describe the suspect? No, just look for the ukulele.
Yeah. I'm still amazed that he was able to break a windshield with a ukulele. And who struck his cord?
Get out! When officers found him, was he singing, I will wait for you?
At least mine was good.
I need both of you to get out.
Now. I agree now. I agree.
Now. Highly intoxicated at 2 o'clock in the afternoon?
Also on Saturday, school is back.
I'm not mad. I'm impressed.
In session. 12th in Kentucky, they're asking if there are more witnesses. Please come forward. There are going to be hundreds of witnesses at 12th in Kentucky.
Why do you say that?
That's right at the convergence of where you're walking to go to the bars.
At 2 o'clock in the afternoon?
In Lawrence on a Saturday?
You must have had a much different college experience than I did.
I was going to say, Scott, I'm not at all shocked that somebody...
What time was the game, Sam?
Well, there wasn't a game.
I guarantee you school...
They played on Friday night.
School is back in session. 12th to 14th-ish and Kentucky are packed.
I understand, Dana. I went to KU. At 2 o'clock in the afternoon, they are not. Not on a non-game day.
It was a bye week, by the way.
A couple of weeks after school started, I have a feeling there's all I'm saying is I don't think they're going to have any trouble finding witnesses when you just throw it out there. Did you see a dude with a ukulele?
I don't dispute that.
He was strung out.
But.
I'm not even going to kick you out for that one.
We're moving on.
At any rate.
What time did the party start at your house when you were in college? On a Saturday.
Well, sometimes early, and then you would go home and be in bed by 5. It wasn't an every kind of day kind of thing. I'd got a decent GPA.
The alcoholic on the show, and the party did not start at 2 o'clock on a Saturday.
Well, Scott, you can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning. I'm in no way surprised that he was drunk at 2 p.m. Now... Breaking a windshield with a ukulele? I'm still stuck
that's
on that one.
Now, that's impressive. I'm not even mad about that.
Somebody sign this guy.
You know there's going to be...
The dingers that he could hit? If he can do that with a ukulele?
You know there's going to be body camera of this. I'm just saying there is. I'm not saying we're requesting it. I'm just saying there is.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay, are we done with the puns?
Yeah, I'm good.
Everybody got their puns
I'm
in?
Absolutely good.
Sammy, you got one more?
Oh, I've got a lot more than one.
All right. Story here from the New York Post. Things are looking up for this unconventional couple. Despite the height gap haters, a 6'9" woman
Yeah.
6'9".
Yeah.
Who married a 5'4" man, has vowed to look past their difference of views literally. Elisani de Cruz Silva was born with, is it pronounced gigantism?
Sure.
Is that correct? A very rare medical condition where excess growth hormones are produced due to a tumor on the pituitary gland. The excessive amount of GH accelerates the growth of the muscle, bones, and connective tissue. She's 6'4", check that, 6'9". He is 5'4". Let me ask you this.
That is a big swing.
That is a 1.5 foot difference in height. Could you marry a man? Let me rephrase. Would you date a man who is shorter than you?
That would narrow the field down considerably because I am 5'2".
You didn't answer my question.
I'm not saying I wouldn't have. No, I don't. Height does not bother me one way or the other. Do they make me laugh? You know, all of those things. Can they handle my brain? Height was never
that
something.
That really narrows the field. Big time.
What field?
We're down to Johnny. No, I have never understood that. I know there are some girls that prefer to date, especially in their college years, teenage years, men who are taller.
I mean, but there is the old adage, tall, dark, and handsome.
Yes. Isn't it true that all of our presidents have been over 6 foot something?
No.
I think with the exception of one, Scott.
No.
They've studied this. It's the whole, if you're taller, is it because you're tall that you have confidence, that you have the confidence that you end up as a CEO? Or
I know for a fact that there were dances that I went to in high school solely because I was tall enough that they could wear heels.
Really?
Yeah.
Jimmy Carter was 5'10". Franklin Pierce was 5'10". Dwight Eisenhower was 5'10". Millard Fillmore was 5'9".
Okay, now you're going back to like the Whig party.
William McKinley was 5'7". Grover Cleveland was 5'11".
Whig.
Whig.
Whig. Whig. John Quincy Adams was 5'7".
Now, granted, I'm 6'5", so the pool of women taller than me would be
well,
about the
saying.
Same size as the pool of men that can deal with Dana's brain. And I couldn't do it.
I don't see why it's such a big deal. Now, in this example, you know, we're talking about an extreme example.
She's 6'9", he's 5'4".
Wasn't there an Olympian, a college athlete? Recently, this was in the news. He was a championship wrestler. You okay. Remember this. We talked about it. She was a college basketball player, I want to say, Sam. And people went nuts when they saw their photo online. They were like, well, that's an odd couple. And they were both like, what? No. Why? Why does that have to be a thing? Let me look it up. I am certain it was a college athlete.
Would you care to guess who the shortest president of all time was?
Oh, God. Here we go. I don't. Was it in the first, like?
Yes.
Yeah.
He was 5'4".
What about John Quincy Adams?
He was 5'7.5".
Oh, gosh. See, now he's just on a tear to prove me wrong.
By the way, you were talking about Lucas Byrd, University of Illinois wrestler.
Yes.
His girlfriend, Ellie, is 6'3", a volleyball player.
Okay, so this went crazy viral several months ago.
So he's 5'5", she's 6'3".
Because I think he won, like, the national wrestling championship that year.
And she ran over and gave him a hug.
Yes.
And I gotta be honest, it looks like a mom picking up her kid.
It went viral.
Wow.
Sam Yule.
Wow.
But think about it. They're both college athletes. College athletes date other college athletes. Why does height have to matter? I don't understand that
at
all.
Maybe because it does.
Why?
I think most women would tell you they would not date somebody shorter than them.
I think it matters more for women than men.
That's what I mean.
Look at the height differential between those two athletes.
She's an Amazon.
And she's wearing high heels. She's not hunching her shoulders down and wearing flats and tried to make it what it's not.
Okay.
They're in love and it's great. And I don't know why people are so curious about things like this.
I've always thought it was weird the how much people put on height as a really tall person.
What do you mean?
Like, for example, back in my days where I was swiping on the old apps, most of the women that you would come across on those, the first thing in their bio was, must be 6 feet or taller.
No!
Not looking for a great personality, not, hey, I'd love to start a family, yeah. Not, you know. No,
do you have a prison record? We're good with that if you're 6'2".
Oh, yeah. Prison record's fine.
Are you serious?
Sell crack? No problem. Are you 6'1"? We're good.
That makes me sad.
But you know, I wonder if height is...
See, hold on. From the text line, I'm 6 foot tall. As a woman, height only matters to guys.
I don't think that's true. I do not think that's true.
But I think as a woman who's 6 foot tall, she probably has a lot of guys who are not 6 foot, maybe 6'1", 6'2", who are choosing not to date her.
I'll tell you this. The day that I went in for my annual physical, mm-hmm. and I was no longer 6 feet tall, and I was now 5'11", that bothered me.
I don't think height should have anything to do with confidence, but if you are a man, I know that it does. And that hurts my heart. Well, you could have the most gigantic personality, be super successful, be the life of the party, all of the things a woman would want in a partner, kind and giving and caring,
right.
and aligns with your belief system, but you're not going to end up with that person because they're a couple of inches shorter than you.
Is the word I'm thinking of virility, is that right?
Is it somehow equated with...
Like, remember back in the 14, 1500s?
Yeah.
The heavier you were.
Oh, yeah.
The more attractive you were.
Women, too.
Because, that's right. Because that meant you had wealth.
You had wealth because you were fat, because you were eating.
Because you ate too much.
Yes.
You drank too much wine.
Yep.
You ate too much food. So the fatter you were, the more attractive you were. And I wonder if now, instead of weight, it's now height. With men, you're more... You have more virility.
Well, there's something primitive about it where the larger man can defend the woman. I mean, that certainly plays a role.
And because now women are constantly under attack from shorter men?
Okay, I'm going to be honest.
Or just under attack in general.
If we make this not about height, because we are so appearance-obsessed in the United States, if you see a very, very large man with a very... svelte smaller woman, or you see a very, very tiny man with a very curvy, larger woman, do mm-hmm. you not? I know this, and I don't mean you, Scott. I mean, for everyone listening.
You judge.
Or do you think, just question, like, oh, I wonder how they got together. Like, why? Why does that have anything to do with anything?
913-586-7798.
Why am I so uncomfortable right now?
586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, from the text line, my husband is 5'6". I'm 6'2". We've been together for 16 years. We banter back and forth all the time.
I wouldn't read that last part.
And I'm not going to. Thank you, Texter. Chad in Overland Park. Hello, Chad.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. I'm 5'4", and it's been very hard to date. Since high school. One time I dated a girl for a few dates. Things were going great. We're having good times, laughing, all that sort of stuff. She was about 5'10", and she said, I have to call things off just because our height differences. So there's definitely stuff like that that happens.
Chad, that makes me sad. Then why did she go out with you in the first place if she knew the height difference was going to be a deal breaker for her, which, again, I don't understand?
I don't know. You'd have to ask her.
Yeah.
Maybe she thought she could get over it, but... it's something you can make fun of or joke about, like a short guy, but you would never do the same jokes towards like an overweight woman.
That's a great point.
it's the same thing. Like, I have less control over that versus someone's weight. But it's still like, since the inventions of ladders and guns, really height has nothing to do with anything. But it does seem to be the case in dating a lot of times.
Have you been able to have a serious relationship?
Not with quality for the most part, but
how old are you, if I can ask?
I'm in my 40s.
And all your life, do you think all of your life your height has been a hindrance to you having a serious, fulfilling relationship?
I'm not going to blame it solely on that, but the pool of women,
yeah,
is greatly smaller. And I don't choose, like, I don't have a requirement. You have to be about my height or smaller, but usually it is within a couple inches.
Huh.
So, Chad, thank you for the call and for your honesty. Yeah. I'm so short. We have...
Well, you're 5'2",
We have
right?
family members up and down the tree, and the men in the family will tell you that high school and the first couple of years of college were tough. Because not only, I think with the dating, the boys would tell you it makes it harder. Also, you look younger. Okay, so when you're in college and you're trying to be like, hey, can I get in on...
Excuse me?
Free beer night here tonight. Oh, okay. It makes some of those things more difficult.
But Willem is tall.
Yeah, for some reason that one. What happened with that one?
What is he, 6'4"?
Yeah, he's
giant.
We don't have tall people in our family.
You got one.
We got one.
913-586-7798. News coming up with Dan Weinbaum in 2 minutes. Here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.